This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book. Coming to you from glorious Clearwater, Florida, the perfect place for writers to write and readers to enjoy a good book. And I am so happy to welcome back to Joy on Paper two of my favorite authors. They are what we call overachievers. My goodness, they achieve so much. And now they are on their third book of their new series, and it is called Dark Intercept, right? Hi, guys. Are you there?
Yeah. We are. We are. How are you?
Okay. So I am talking to Brian Andrews and Jeffrey Wilson. And you are, I always think of you as the Lucy and Ethel of the writing world. I am so happy to welcome you to the program because, you know, you've been here before and for Tier 1, and then now this new series is so exciting. And I was so thrilled to discover that you won the 2022 ACFW Carol Award.
Yeah, we did. Thank you. Were super honored to do that.
Wow. I mean, this is a real affirmation because, you know, it was a big, I tell my listeners who don't know that, you know, you took on a new series that has a Christian element to it or a spiritual element to it. And that's a sort of a step out of your normal all military books. But this is really an affirmation that you hit it right. This is fantastic news.
Thank you so much.
We're really excited about this series and really excited that the readers have embraced it in addition to our existing series. So that's so exciting for us.
Well, you know, I love Tier 1. I'm crazy about that series, and I often talk about it because there's one particular scene that I think should be used in colleges as an example of a perfect action scene. I've talked about it before, and that was the hospital scene in Red Spectre that I love. And when I talk to writers, you know, during this horrible pandemic time, I had to cancel most of my speaking engagements. But now that I'm back again, and people ask me, you know, how do you write an action scene? I said, oh, well, just check out Andrews and Wilson. Their hospital scene is one of the best I ever read.
Well, that's very kind of you to say. You know, you said something a moment ago about how we had sort of moved out into a different direction. And it's funny, we hear that a lot about this series, but I think it was news to us because Brian and I, when we first developed this series, even before Tyndale had reached out to us and asked if we had something that might fit into their wheelhouse, we never really thought of it as a completely different direction. Adding these faith elements and these elements like, you know, crisis in faith that happens in war and the nature of good and evil, we never really thought of that as a pivot so much as just adding another layer. As you know from Tier 1, we tend to focus on very, very character and relationship driven stories and questions of, you know, is there God? What is God's role in the universe? What is the nature of good and evil? These are such universal questions for human beings that adding those questions into an action thriller didn't really feel like a huge change to us from what we were doing before. Obviously, we have these faith elements that we're excited about, but it just didn't feel that different. So we sort of felt like, or we hoped, that people would embrace it as just another Andrews and Wilson action thriller, and that seems to be the case. And like you said, winning that award was definitely validating, but to us, it's sort of more of the same. Wouldn't you say, Brian?
I just like the fact she called us overachievers.
I like that she called us Lucy and Ethel. I just am not sure which one I am, and now I'm going to think about it all day now.
Well, you, Well, you're like the two amigos. You're just you actually, you know, for the next Halloween costume, you could wear those, you know, those dresses that they had out of bags, and you could do it. And as a matter of fact, because I think, you know, Jeff, last time you were on, I called you gorgeous. Because, you know, you're an actor and a real overachiever, like just a naval officer, and just throw in a vascular trauma surgeon, jet pilot, you know, not too much. Of course, Brian, you're not a wimp in all of this, because you're like a nuclear engineer. You're the one on the submarine that scares me to death. I could not be on. I freaked out when I went on that submarine in Disney World. It's a little submarine they put you in. I realized afterwards that we actually don't go to, but I was like freaked out. But you also, Brian, you have a degree in psychology, which I think perhaps has also come in handy with this entire storyline, now that you have really touched into, you know, I think all of your books, what do they say, for military people, you know, when you're there are no atheists on the battlefield, and I think that's right. Been throughout your books too, there has been that, you're right, there's always been this deep and caring, trying to understand what's going on. So how did you bring that all into this story? And who came out with the idea first? You guys have, you know, you like have this mind-bending thing that you work together.
We have, yeah, and we have, you know, because we have such eclectic backgrounds. I mean, I think one of the things that makes life fun is having interest in learning how stuff works and learning how the mind works and how people work and how complicated systems work. And I think that, you know, both of us have that innate curiosity about, you know, why are things the way that they are and why do people do things the way that they do? And so when you're a fiction writer, it's sort of like, you know, a little bit of a laboratory. Like every book is a little experiment, and we're like the scientists that get to control it. We put the characters in there, and we get to change stuff, and we get to see what they do. And so, it's, you know, every time we come up with a new story, we don't always know how it's going to work out. You know, when we start off, it's always with some question like, well, what if we did this, or what if this happened? What would people do? And, you know, sometimes we get surprised by what the characters do, and I think that's a maybe just a strange thing about being a fiction writer, but that's really how it is.
Yeah, I love the metaphor of the laboratory, like it's a research experiment, because you know when you know we've both done scientific research in our lives, and when you do research, the two things you do is you ask the why question and sort of set up the stimulus for the thing, and then you set rules for the experiment, and then you just watch and see what happens. And that is a lot like what we do, isn't it, Brian? Like we sort of ask a why question, what would happen if this? And we have these characters that are very real to us, and then we set rules for our universe, and then we just throw the characters into that mix and watch what happens. And the characters truly do inform the story for us, and I think it's different for every writer. But there truly are times, Patsy, when John Dempsey will say, dude, why are you writing that? I would not do that. Like, and that's a real thing for us, and that was very true in this series of books with Jed and with Sarah Beth especially. She's like, look, old man, that's not how I would do that. I'm 12. And these characters, they come so to life that we get to watch what happens in this little experiment we created. I love that metaphor, Brian. We're going to be using that forever now.
Well, of course, the new book is called Darkfall, a military and supernatural warfare thriller. So, I mean, when you first came out with this idea to your editor, did your editor say, what? What's you're doing paranormal? How'd your editor take it?
In this case, yeah, in this case, it didn't work that way, because it's a new publisher. So the editor at Tyndale House was all in, because that's what they were looking for. We had not had the opportunity to take this to our editor at Blackstone or, you know, at Thomas and Mercer or Penguin or any of the other places we write. It was something that was like a partial. It was an idea. It was sort of outlined. There were some sample chapters. And it was sitting in a drawer, because we sort of came up with the idea right around the time that the spinoff series, Sons of Valor, the spinoff of Tier 1, got bought by Blackstone, and so we were writing that. And then we did the W.E.B. Griffin book for Penguin. We were just really busy. So it was something we wanted to do, and it was sitting there. And a friend of ours had an interaction with someone from Tyndale House who was looking, Tyndale House was actively looking for some grittier men's adventure kind of stories that had faith-based themes that they could publish. And so they actually reached out to us through through our friend Josh Hood and said, hey, we heard you might have something, and we pitched it to them. They're like, that's just what we're looking for. So we never really had to have that moment of our editor going, wait, this doesn't sound like Tier 1. Because it was with a new house, and it was exactly what they were hoping for.
But it's got all the excitement of a Tier 1. So who wants to tell the story about this this book and the Peruvian village and how we get there?
This book is the third book in the series so far. And you might remember from one of our previous interviews that, you know, we like to write in trilogies. So it doesn't mean that the story ends after the third book. In fact, with this series, we've signed on for another three books. So we're hard at work on book four right now. But we love the idea of a trilogy because it allows you to really sort of dig into these nice, deep character arcs for the good guys, but also for the bad guys. Because in real life, you know, the bad guy doesn't just drop dead after the first encounter, right? They live on, they fight hard for executing their plan. So, you know, sort of like Star Wars, you know, the first Star Wars set of movies were a trilogy. That's sort of what we do in this series too. So this book, Dark Fall, is the third book in the trilogy, and we really have lots of action, and all the stakes are really high because, you know, they're engaged in this battle for survival, really, against the Dark Ones, and the Dark Ones are upping their game. So, you know, everything comes together in a big, you know, sort of cinematic climax at the end with a big battle. And so we feel like this book might be one of the best books we've ever written. And it's certainly one of the most cinematic books we've ever written. So we're really proud of it.
Well, they all play like movies in my head. So I'm ready to see them all. But they are so well written. As I said, with, you know, the way you write an action scene, it's really different from so many other writers, because you have a pacing and you have a way to sort of you let the reader take a breath in between, and then we go on, and then we go, and it gets so exciting and so thrilling. And of course, everybody, I think some people thought the trilogy meant it was the end of the series, and I know immediately. I knew, say, you're not giving up these characters; they're just too good.
Yeah, it's definitely more to come. Book four is almost written. There'll be at least six, and we're excited that they've been so well received. I like what you said about the action, because it's something we talk about a lot, not just between the two of us, but the writers that we mentor, and, you know, occasionally we get to speak at conferences or at schools and stuff. I gave a talk at Southeastern University just a few weeks ago, and that was the topic: how do you write an action scene? And I think that for thriller writers, it's a challenge. Even, you know, having been in scenarios personally gives you a leg up, but it doesn't help you write it. And I think the mistake that, and I know you have a ton of writers that follow your show, and so I thought maybe we could dig into that for a second, because I think the mistake people make is they try to over-explain stuff to their reader. They don't let the reader get into the story and use their imagination to see what's happening. So they'll try to explain every twist, every turn, every movement of the arm and tilt of the head, and it bogs this narrative down to the point where it's boring. And so what we've tried to do very intentionally is not do that. We try to write action from a POV rather than from this omniscient narrative of looking down on what's happening with the characters. And so that limits us and restricts us from having to over-explain stuff. So it's just whatever Jed is thinking and feeling, or whatever John Dempsey is thinking or feeling. And I think that that adds a little realism to the action scenes, and it's something that we work very hard at.
Well, I'm glad that you want to talk about it, because you know, this is November, and a lot of my listeners are starting off writing this month. They're doing the NaNoWriMo thing and writing a novel in a month. And they are always asking me these questions. How do you write? Well, two things. How do you develop a character? So one of you, I want one of you to talk about how you came out with Jedediah Johnson, because he's a great character and one that, you know, has so much potential for many books to come. But also this idea of how, I like what you mentioned about looking at the action scene in a very special way, because writers really sometimes don't realize that it's so important to get it right, and you get it right every time with your action scenes. But of course you've lived all of this too, that it does help. I want all my listeners to know these guys have seen so much action. It's, well, you wouldn't believe it unless you read these books.
Well, I think those are both great questions. And I'm going to take the one about starting a novel, and we'll let Jeff talk about Jed, because I've been working lately on just some posts to help aspiring authors. Jeff and I both like to contribute to careerauthors.com. So if you have any aspiring authors in your audience, you can go to careerauthors.com. And there's lots of material there. It's free, and it's written by authors who've been there and done that, trying to give information back. So if you are looking to write a novel, I mean, I think the first and most important thing you have to do is your homework. So just like any job, you know, that you're setting out to do, you need to understand what is it that, you know, you're trying to write. Because I think the market is definitely unkind to uneducated writers. And so you want to know what genre you're going to be writing for, who your readers are. That's very important because it informs the type of book that you're going to write. And then the next piece of information I would say is, you know, really think about what is the hook for your novel. And when we use that word hook, it means like, what is the thing that's just like a fishing lure, you know, a fishing lure, the idea with the lure is, the fish sees it and it can't resist going after it. And then when it chomps down on it, the hook is embedded and then the fish can't let go. You can kind of think of a reader like that. You know, there's all sorts of choices out there for you in the market. And you want something that has an idea that's going to be so interesting that the reader, when they say, I think I want to pick up that book, and the hook is so strong that when they start reading, they don't want to put it down until they get to the end. That's not an easy task, but the hook for Dark Intercept is, hey, what would happen if, you know, there was spiritual warfare happening in the background and, you know, military operators had to use this in order to, you know, have victory? That's sort of the hook for the series. And then the third and last thing I'll say is that, you know, having a main character, you know, that's interesting and people relate to, which is a perfect segue for me to kick it over to Jeff to talk about Jedediah.
Yeah, so I love all of that, and it's definitely something, all those things are things we're intentional about. We start with that what-if question and everything, like Brian said, great, it's interesting to us, how do we make it interesting to other people? And a huge part of that is character. In fact, I would say it's the single most important element, and yet in our genre, it's an element that is the most underdeveloped by many in thriller writing. They tend to focus on plot and the exciting geopolitics, and those things are important, but without a character to care about, without a character that you're rooting for, or a bad guy that you just loathe and want to see his fall, it's all for naught, because it's just a, you know, a campfire story. And so to bring this thing to reality, to life, to make it so that you read way into the night, you have to have characters that you care about. And so I think one of the things that I would say to younger writers that will help them with character is two things. One, you have to write characters you know, but that doesn't mean it's you. One pitfall is we write these very big characters, very rich, and they're very emotional, and they have a lot of EQ, but they're all just me, right? It's like me if I was the scientist, and me if I was the bad guy, and me if I'm the good guy, and me, and all of this, all the characters sort of make the same decisions that you would make if you were in that situation. And that's easy, but because it's so natural, but eventually it makes the story two-dimensional. And so what we try to tell the writers we work with is, look at the people around you, the people you love, the people you hate, the people that inspire you. Ask yourself, what is it about them that makes them what they are, and use those characteristics as qualities in those characters. So if you look at a character like Jed, for example, Jed is an amalgam of very real people that we've known. He's not written as any one person in either of our lives, but he has characteristics, very important characteristics, that are a blend of many people that we know and love and respect. And that makes it real to us. And by bringing him to life for ourselves, it's already 90% of the work of bringing him to life for the reader is already done. Because when we write him and we write him in a different situation, we don't have to figure out what he would do. We know what he would do because he's so real to us. And it sounds a little cheesy, but it's truly how we do it, and it's real. So you got to really be intentional about character. Some people spend a lot of time doing character sketches and stuff like that, and that's awesome if that's what gets you there. But have your own technique for bringing these characters to life. What's interesting about Jed is he's a little different for our genre, right? Most action heroes, and that's what he is, most of these action hero characters, they're like more like John Dempsey, who I know Patsy likes. So John Dempsey is, or Chunk in Sons of Valor, these are high speed, high value operators at the peak of their game. Jed's the complete opposite. We meet him, he's broken physically, he's broken emotionally, psychologically, and spiritually. He's at the low point of his life and unsure where he's going to go and what direction he'll come. So arcing that out, a very atypical hero, was a real challenge. But because he's real to us, it was a lot easier, and by, you know, having put in that time. So those are the main points, I guess, I would make in the time we have about character. We could do a whole hour on character.
Well, as a matter of fact, we have to do a whole hour. Listen, when are you two guys ever in Tampa at the same time? So you guys could come in the studio and come in the studio, and we can do a whole hour about writing, because my listeners would just love it to learn from the masters.
That would be fun. I don't know when that'll be, but we'll do it.
Well, I'm sure, Jeff, you'd love to have me visit so you can feed, you know, do all the cooking, buy all the wine.
It's beautiful down here. We got through the hurricane, and it's gorgeous. And you should come on down, and then you guys can come into the studio, and we'll spend the whole hour just chatting about that and about all, I mean, because you are just so marvelous, and I think it would be just, it'd be a thrill for my listeners, a thrill for me. So, you know, again, I never have enough time with you. I just love talking to you. And so the third book is Dark Fall. It's exciting, people. It's touching. It is so beautiful. It's so beautifully written. And there were times when I had tears in my eyes, and I was so thrilled with the writing and so excited with the story, and knowing that you were going to continue with this a whole series at some point, because it's great. And, you know, when I talk about overachievers, I mean, I have to say, you guys are incredible, because I haven't had a chance really to talk to you about Griffin yet. So I have to have you guys back. I have to have you back. You are just, I don't know what you do. You just write all day long, I guess.
That's exactly what we do.
That's what you do. Okay.
All day long, every day.
All right. Well, I want to thank you so much for being on Joy on Paper today. And people, get this book and get all their books. All you have to do is look up Andrews and Wilson, A&W, the root beer of... You guys should go around and carry root beer, so every time people see A&W root beer, they'll think of Andrews and Wilson, because we're not going to put it back. I guess you decided alphabetical was the way to do it. So it's just wonderful, wonderful to talk to you. Your books are terrific, and it's just been a thrill. And I hope that everyone will get Dark Fall, and they have a website. It's called, my goodness, Andrews and Wilson, right?
Andrews-Wilson.com. Yep, you can sign up for a newsletter and see all we have going on.
Oh, yeah, the newsletter's great. I signed up for that newsletter. It's really good. Everybody get that newsletter and then get their books. It's, and this new combination of spiritualness, and it's just wonderful. I'm so happy that you won this Carol Award, because it really is a reaffirming thing that people need something. People need some answers, and they have this need in them, and we're going through so much. I can't even believe that we have a war in the Ukraine. I mean, I can't believe it. It boggles my mind. This book, the new book, Dark Fall, is great. And everybody, thank you guys for being on the program today.
Thanks for having us.
Okay.
Thank you. It's a wonderful interview.
Okay. Thanks so much. And I'll have you back again soon, okay?
Cool. Anytime. Bye.
Okay. Bye-bye now. Oh, wow. These guys are so wonderful. Like, how can they work? I don't know. They're working, like, all the time. They are overachievers. Anybody who does. Anyway, we'll go to commercial, and I'll be right back with another interesting guest.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Are you ready to eliminate your home energy bill? Well, get ready to harness the sun. Go EHS, Effective Solar Solutions, by Efficient Home Services. With no upfront costs, you can save money on your utility bill and even eliminate your electric bill altogether with EHS Solar. Call EHS, the number one solar installer nationwide. We know how to customize your home. EHS handles every project in-house with no subcontractors. Remember, no upfront costs, tax breaks, and the best company in the business, Efficient Home Services. Schedule an appointment today at 727-353-3757. Visit our website and download your free buyer's guide to going solar at www.goehs.com. Go solar, go savings, go EHS. Call 727-353-3757 today to talk to our experts.
Are you an author, an artist, an inventor? Then you need to protect your valuable intellectual property. You need Larson & Larson. We have the experience and knowledge to help you with all of your legal needs, from processing trademark, copyright, or patent applications, to negotiating licensing agreements and handling litigation. The attorneys at Larson & Larson in Largo, Florida, can help protect you. Call us today for a no-cost consultation at 727-546-0660 or visit our website at LarsonPatentLaw.com.
Do you dread being called on to speak at meetings or family functions? Have you envied those who can sway an audience with well-chosen words? Do you know that people who speak well earn more money, earn more recording careers? Gain the confidence to master any speaking situation. Toastmasters will allow you to find your voice. Go to Toastmasters.org to locate the club nearest you.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is Patsy with a Z, and I am back, and this is really exciting. I'm going to be talking to Edwin Fuller, who is the author of Red Chaos, along with Gary Grossman, but he's not going to be here today. But I'm so happy to welcome Ed to the program again, because the name of the book is called Red Chaos, and it is the third book in the Red Hotel book series. Hi, Ed.
Hi, how are you this morning?
Okay, great. Well, I love your books. You know, it is so much fun. people don't always realize how exciting the life of somebody who runs a hotel chain can be. So tell us about this wonderful new book. You know, we're back to this. We never finish with the Russians, do we? So it's a timely book.
This particular book has really come out timely. And when you consider we wrote it about a year ago, it's right on target with oil.
Exactly. That's one of the things we're thinking about all the time. Every time we go to the gas pump, we think about oil, and I think people are more aware of oil now than ever before. And the scenario in this book is a little bit frightening.
That's true, and our notorious character, who is, of course, a copy of someone named Putin, is up to no good. And while he does not directly attack the country, our character uses his stealth, his organization, and above all, his ability to work around to make things happen for him. But he doesn't always get it done right.
Well, we hope not. But we have some really, you know, the scenario that you pose, it's so close to possibility that sometimes it's frightening to think about. Because here we have a Russian president, and he wants to go well beyond the Ukraine, and he's, you know, going beyond the Ukraine, beyond Latvia, and all the way to the Suez Canal. So tell us, when did you come up with this idea?
Well, what we were motivated by was, number one, climate warming is reducing ice north of the Russian country, which frankly controls the majority of the area around the North Pole. And that sources both additional oil in Russia, but more importantly, sources the transportation of goods and oil in a much better location than they've ever been. So it's interesting, Russia today has 40 icebreakers. The United States has 2. And we started pondering on that, and what we realized is you could really cut off all oil, if you wanted to, if you went to some tactical locations. Well, I spent a lot of time in Egypt. I went through a couple of insurrections there, and I also spent time in Panama. So we started looking at these key locations and how they would impact the rest of the world if they were closed to traffic. And of course, that includes our friends in Iran and some of our mischief from North Korea.
And throw in a few Chinese, and we've got a heck of a story going here.
That's right. I call it a bouillabaisse.
It is a bouillabaisse.
Oh, we're not on the cooking channel. I'm sorry.
but it is a bouillabaisse, and it's bubbling, and it's a little bit spicy, and it's really great. And tell us about Dan, your main character. Tell us about Dan Fuller. And Dan Fuller.
Well,
Dan Reilly.
I appreciate you uncovering the secret, but yes, Dan is me.
I know it.
And the Ed Fuller served in the Army for Vietnam and Germany. I also spent time 22 years running Marriott's international division of a 40-year career. But that international division and the military gave me the opportunity to experience a number of the various incidents that you find in the entire series from start to finish. I wouldn't want to give away much in Red Chaos, but you can be assured in Red Hotel that the hurricane, the bombing of the hotel in Tokyo are all very real. And so what we mix is my realities with then some of the fiction that Gary is good at putting in, and we balance it out to what we think is a thrilling story.
Well, I can tell you, I loved, when I first discovered you, loved the premise of the somebody in the hotel business being involved in this kind of action, because I worked for the Intercontinental Hotel in Tehran, Iran, back in the day when we had the Intercontinental. And I know that we had a nest of spies. You walk in the lobby of the Intercontinental in Tehran, and every, you know, you turn to your left, turn to your right, there were spies all over the place. American, German, French, Japanese, Chinese. So being in the hotel business is the ideal place to find out about spies and what's going on in the whole international community.
I couldn't agree with you more. And the one of our hotels in Pakistan was described as that. It was a neutral hotel, so we had the good guys and the bad guys having dinner next to each other. And then one day, when they were trying to go after the president of Pakistan with a bomb, they attacked our hotel, which we thought was fairly safe. Although we had over 120 security guards, this bomb was so fierce that ended its neutrality, and we went back to a hotel that really was very selective in who they let in.
Well, you had a Marriott hotel in Tehran. Did you ever visit Tehran?
We have a basement in Tehran. It was never finished.
Ah. Well, the Intercontinental was a big hotel.
You were watching it being built, and it got stopped when the Shah left. Yeah. Because it was owned by his company.
Yeah, those were the days. Those were the days. So it's wonderful way that, you know, life works, that you never know where you will go or what you will do. And I don't know if you knew that at one point you would be like a best-selling author writing these major, major books about international terrorism. What did you study in school? What did you plan to be? Did you plan to be a writer?
Well, at first I wanted to be a pilot. And when I was in the Boston University, I resolved that I really wanted to get into business. And so when I went into the Army and spent time internationally, I really got very excited. Even the year in Vietnam brought me closer to other cultures, and I realized how important that was. Then during the 40 years with Marriott, in 2011, I wrote a book called You Can't Lead With Your Feet on the Desk, which was a business book that Wiley published, and it got a lot of acceptance. It was published in China and Japan, and was very successful, which then got me thinking, well, maybe I can write thrillers. I needed help. I had written the business book on my own because I knew it inside and out, but I needed someone to be a friend that could help me blend it all together, that Bouillon base again. And so that's when Gary and I linked up through another friend. Gary is a Boston University graduate, I am, and this other friend who wrote three of the James Bond novels, or not novels, screenplays, was from Boston University, and he brought us together. So very exciting times all the way around.
Well, this and book is so exciting.
We would generally work in a restaurant in Los Angeles, and we're talking about who is going to kill who, and then Gary or I look up and see people watching us, and we go, we're writing a book.
Well, you never know, because you can be in the lobby of the hotel, and really, it is. I love, after working at the Intercontinental and getting that touch of excitement of being in that international community, it is really so thrilling, and you hear so much. It's amazing. I would go from one group of people to another and find out and hear about the different things going on in their businesses. The things people talk about in the lobby of a hotel are really quite sometimes so surprising, aren't they?
Absolutely. And we all, well, let's be honest, I also taught at University of California, Irvine for 8 years. And I would always start up with the business class. It was an executive business class. And I'd say, rule number one, there are no secrets in the hotel. And they'd say, well, what do you mean? I'd say, well, we knew what one of our presidents of the United States, I'm not going to name him, I'll let you draw your own conclusions, watched on TV in our hotel in Moscow. And I could tell you, but I won't, which questionable show he watched 6 times over his 7-day stay. So the fact is, there are just no secrets. And if you get into the international intrigue, we had an incident in Vienna, and we have other incidents where we found rooms that were bugged by different organizations, and that's incorporated in this also. So it is a lot of intrigue that most people don't think about. And in the case of Vienna, that piece of equipment in the suites was always turned on when OPEC met there, because we had most of the OPEC countries in our hotel, and always turned off when they left. And we didn't realize that until we were redoing the hotel. And we said, well, who manufactured it? And the answer came back, we think it's the U.S. I said to the general manager, you're good friends with the ambassador, why don't you walk down, get a cup of coffee, give him a wrapped box, and said, I have a gift for you, and I appreciate your effort to get it into the hotel, but we'd prefer not to get it back. And the ambassador never said another word, took the box, and quite frankly, the main way we identified it was the United States was about a month after we had renovated all suites. The embassy had leased all suites for about 2 weeks, and that's when they installed them, and they had been there for over 7 years.
Oh, yeah. It's so much fun. People don't realize how much fun working in a hotel can be. And as I said, you never know. And the intrigue that goes on, as you said, and the knowledge that the staff has on people is really quite incredible. And, of course, in the days when I worked in the hotel, they were still using... What were those machines? Not the fax machine, the other one, the teletype one. They knew everything that went on with all the different businesses and all the international visitors.
Absolutely. When the Chinese Olympic Games started to get up ready, one of our staff at Marriott came in and said, Ed, you can't do this. and they had just seen a letter indicating that the Chinese were installing listening devices in every hotel and on every electronic device in the hotel. And I looked back and I said, we are actually helping them install it. And the person said, well, this is immoral. And I said, that's not the issue. We will be out of that hotel if we don't let them. And what we're doing is notifying every guest that there is a listening device in their room. And the Chinese have said, okay, you can do that, because what we're really after right now is making sure there's no trouble during the Olympics. But you would know they left those machines in the hotels after the Olympics.
Well, Red Chaos is an exciting book. It's a timely book. It's one of those pulse-pounding kind of thrillers. And it exposes, I think, the web of espionage that goes on in international business and geopolitics. There's so much that people don't understand what's happening. And it's good, I think, if they read this, it's a little bit of a warning that we have to be more careful, that we have to think about the dangers out there. And you've created just a wonderful series. I love this series. It's because it is so real. It is really the kind of thing that is happening today. In any place you go in, traveling internationally, and you go, everybody stays in a hotel. You know, when I was young, but one of the things is, you know, I knew, even as a young woman, when I was traveling alone, and I traveled a great deal alone, in those days I could, it was a different life, but even then it was dangerous. But I always knew to be careful in hotels. And when I visited Russia, I remember that I took a shower always wearing a nightgown, because I always knew that they would be listening in and probably looking in. And so even though I stayed in very cheap hotels in Russia, you know, still that were allowed in those days where tourists could go, I wore a nightgown in the shower because I didn't trust those people.
And you were absolutely right to do that, because in the ventilation system was their favorite place to run the cameras. And they absolutely were with you every minute of the day. And I had to stay in East Germany 5 years running before the wall came down. And there was this beautiful hotel built by a Swedish company. And so it was made for Westerners so they could get hard currency in East Germany. And the bar was just filled with very attractive women. And one of the board members that I was attending a board leaned over to me and said, Ed, they work for the KBG, so be careful, don't make the mistake. Well, I didn't make the mistake, but then later he came to the room and said, see the camera pointing at your bed? They would have recorded that and you would have been in trouble.
That's it. It's so exciting. This series is so exciting, and I love, of course, everything about a hotel anyway. So everybody get this book. It's called Red Chaos, and it is another winner in the Fuller and Grossman series. You've done a wonderful job. I'll tell you one little more story about me. When I was staying at the Hilton Vienna, you know that hotel, probably.
Yes.
I love that hotel. And just for the heck of it, I bought a Russian newspaper. And I walked through the lobby with this Russian newspaper. You know, and I did get a reaction. I had a South American guy approach me. And and we got into conversation. And he really, I'm sure he thought I was a Russian spy or something. It was so much fun. Those hotel business, it's a fun business, and you've turned it into a wonderful, wonderful series. I'm so happy that you are on the program today. Ed Fuller, I know who you are. You are just a great, great a hotelier and a man who knows the international spy trade. So it's just been grand talking to you today.
Thoroughly an enjoyment from my side. And we do need to get you in those Marriott hotels.
Okay, anytime. Oh, I love Marriott hotels. Oh, I adore them. So thank you so much. You are just wonderful. I'm going to really promote this book like crazy because I know it could happen. We don't want it to happen, but it's exciting. People, put up that do not disturb and sign on your door, and don't let anybody talk to you until you finish this book. It's called Red Chaos, and it is the third book in the series, and then you'll want to go back and read the other two because it's really the story of Ed, and you are a fascinating guy, Ed.
Well, I would look forward to sitting down and having a cup of coffee with you, just as long as you did not bring a Russian newspaper, even in Fort Lauderdale.
Okay, well, I'm here in Clearwater, so if you're ever in our area, please let me know, and you can come into the studio, and we can go and have lunch afterwards. How about that? A drink, probably.
Sounds great.
Okay.
Look forward to it.
Okay, Ed Fuller, you are fantastic. I just love the book, and it's Red Chaos. Everybody, get this book. I have to say bye-bye now, but I hope the next book is you're working on it, right?
Yes, the Red Ultimatum.
Okay. Well, I'm looking forward to that.
We're still writing, so we're not revealing anything because we may change something, but we are on the fourth book.
Okay. I look forward to you coming into the studio someday, okay?
Look forward to it.
Okay.
Be good.
Thank you. Bye-bye
Be
now.
Be well.
Oh, and you too. Bye-bye now. Wow, he's so great. I love this book. Whenever I think about being in the hotel business, it is so exciting. Oh, my goodness, the time has just gone so quickly today. Two wonderful, wonderful books and great authors. And exciting. And both of them, both of them have this international military theme. And I think we really need that right now. You get lost in their books. And I like books where I get lost in them. And with Red Chaos, my goodness, I read it. I was reading it, and I didn't want to put it down. I just wanted to keep reading it because it's so good. Anyway, remember, people, all you NaNoWriMo people, keep sending those emails in. I love hearing about your progress. My goodness, it's always halfway through November. Because everybody, remember what I always say, one of the joys of life is to see your words on paper or to hear your words in an audible book, or if you're very, very lucky, to hear those magic words, lights, camera, action, and your book will be turned into a major motion picture, a streaming video, or perhaps a series on the Hallmark Channel. You never know, and you won't know unless you start writing. So keep it up, all you NaNoWriMo people, and I know that Carol J. Perry is also writing. She's writing, I think, two books at the same time. She's also an overachiever. Absolutely wonderful. Her High Spirits Christmas book is out. Please get that book. You will love it. Just sit back and relax. And it's a book set here in Florida, and you will love it. Say something nice to somebody today, and I will say something nice to Big Ed in the control room. Thank you, Ed. Thank you for everything you do. And I really appreciate it. And he salutes me, and I salute him, because I should have been a general. I would have been a great general. Oh, I'd been so good. And I would love the pension. Okay, bye-bye now.